Yeah, I need a motion, right.
We're on.
Wait a minute. Now George is leaving. Oh. We're on now, Robin?
Yes.
Okay, we need a motion to come back in from recess for public hearings. Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Stever. To come out of recess back into public hearings. Question on motion? Now we'll take the vote, Mr. Stever.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole? I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is the time that the council holds public hearings on zoning applications. They are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director, Mr. Lank, will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address, and please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Please do not repeat yourself and do not repeat things that have been stated by someone else. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will become part of the record. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing this afternoon is Change of Zone 1709. Mr. Lank?
Yes, thank you. This application is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from AR1 Agriculture Residential to B1 Neighborhood Business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Brock Hill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.13 acres, more or less, lying southwest of Route 1, northwest of Pondview Drive, also being northwest of Red Mill Pond, and 170 feet southeast of Best Lane, and also being lots 1A, 2, 3, and 4 of Red Mill Manor. For the benefit of the record, the commission held public hearing on this application on September 8th of 2011. The commissioners were provided with an exhibit booklet. The council today has a copy in front of them that is an amended copy. It includes some additional comments from the preliminary land use service, also known as PLUS, and a response from the applicant to PLUS comments. The commission was advised of DLDOT comments. They were also part of the exhibit booklet. We also received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We'd received two letters in support and nine letters in opposition. Heidi Gilmore, attorney with Tunnel and Razor Professional Association, was present on behalf of the applicants, who were also present with Doug Berry, professional engineer, and Mark Davison, office principal with Pannonia Associates Incorporated, and all gave testimony. Pat Campbell White, realtor, was present and gave testimony on behalf of the applicant. Patricia Kelly was present. Patricia is a resident of Red Mill Manor and spoke in support. Grace Benet, a resident living on Best Lane, and Dale Truitt, and also a resident living on Best Lane, were present in opposition, gave testimony. And Tommy Givens, a resident within the Red Mill Manor. Read a letter of record in opposition from his wife, and that was a part of the packet of 9 letters we had received in opposition. On September 22nd, 2011, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1709 for Daniel T. and Dale S. Boynes for a change of zone from AR1 to B1 neighborhood business based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. 1, the site is located on the west side of Route 1. It is adjacent to existing B1 zoning, and this zoning would be integrated into that B1 parcel with regard to the use and access. 2, this site is not appropriate for residential use with its frontage directly onto Route 1. There are traffic and safety concerns, but these can be more adequately addressed through a business use which requires a formal site plan review and more intense review by Delta. Traffic safety and entrance concerns would not receive the same oversight in this property if it is developed as individual residential strip lots, which is permissible under the current zoning. 3, the B1 rezoning is consistent with the orderly growth of the county. There are a number of businesses and commercial uses located in this general area of Route 1, including a B1 zoned property next door. 4, B1 zoning has limited permitted uses, which will limit the intensity of any development of the property. The applicant has proposed a small office complex of the type that currently exists on his property that is zoned B1, and again, being next door. 5, the site is in a developing area according to the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. According to the plan, this area is appropriate for the B1 zoning that is being requested. 6, the property will be served by Central Water and Sussex County Sewer. And 7, site plan approval for any use of the property will be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as relevant state agencies, including Delta. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. We do have copies of the, which I'll pass down. They are in a clip. Hopefully they stay together. There's 2 letters in support. They're short. There are a total of, as I stated, the 9 letters, and with attachments received during the public hearing process with the Planning and Zoning Commission, there are 111 signatures in opposition with the attached letters. And I believe that the council has this. Okay. I did receive a letter of addressed to the council. It's from Dale Truitt. I'm assuming Dale's going to speak. So I'm not going to read the letter, but it is a part of the record. And it is in opposition. And I'll pass that down also. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Lang?
Did the idea of deed restrictions come up during the planning and zoning hearing?
Were
there no deed restrictions?
There are none.
And that's a subdivision? There are none?
There are none. No.
Okay.
The subdivision was pre or early zoning. It was established.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions of Mr. Lang? If not, Ms. Gilmore.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Heidi Gilmore, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Dan and Dale Boynes, who are actually here with us today. If you could just raise your hand. Also with me presenting is Pannoni Associates. There's Mark Davidson and Douglas Berry. We'll be jointly presenting for you. But our request is for a change from AR1 to B1 zoning. As you're aware, B1 permits general business and professional type offices. Our client, as a part of their review, proposes and has planned for to erect buildings which would house professional and medical type offices on the site, and that is a permitted use under the B1 zoning. You may ask why we didn't apply for a conditional use. We actually considered that, but Mr. Boynes, in reviewing the entire project, found that he could not obtain financing from lending institutions if it were not zoned as B1. Apparently, banks don't like conditional uses any longer. So that's why we're here for B1 zoning. And just for purposes of the council as well as the public, we're invariably going to address some site plan issues, which we looked at as a part of the planning process. But that's not what we're presenting. We're presenting primarily the B1 application, and so I just wanted to avoid any confusion. So in support of the client's application for change of zone, we did submit an exhibit booklet, which the commission accepted into the record the night of the hearing. We have updated that. We have since gotten the plus comments, which have been added to the planning and zoning file. We'll refer to our booklet as well as the plus comments as we proceed. So in support of our application, we'll first address the surrounding uses in the general vicinity. There are other approved B1 uses. In fact, our applicant, Mr. Boynes, owns the adjoining site, which houses REMAX currently, and that is already zoned B1. There is two other uses immediately adjacent, Delaware Guidance Services and Beach Babies. But from our zoning map, which is in the project booklet, and you'll see it there on the stand, there are many other C1 and B1 uses in the area, and just to highlight a few, we have Red Mill Center, which is C1. There's B1 directly across the street on the northbound highway of Route 1, and that's surrounded also by C1, and you'll see those outlined on the map. A recent conditional use within a one-mile radius was Dawn's Country Market, which the county had approved this year. There's also Red Mill Inn, which is C1, Harvard Business Services, which is C1, and Clean Cut Hardscaping, and then another antique and retail shop all along the southbound corridor. As Mr. Lank indicated, there is water and sewer, which will be provided to the site. We had no objections from DelDOT, and Mr. Berry is actually going to address that as a part of the plus comments, which they received back. You might have some questions for us what we're planning to do and as a part of our site plan that we've looked at, particularly because it will affect the site, such as parking, security, lighting, those types of things. And we looked at all of that to make sure that we could actually develop this site appropriately. And what we found is the site is very restrictive on what B1 uses can actually go on the site, whether it's setback issues or the like. So we looked at the flow of traffic as well as shielding visibility with a vegetative buffer. And what we found is that there is ample area for traffic flow into the site and out of the site using best lane, and that's what DelDOT has actually requested that we do. And again, the engineer will discuss that further. As for a need in the community, we have Pat Campbell-White here addressing that with us today from the real estate side, so you just don't have to rely on my testimony. But this site is currently in the desirable area, Route 1, which is sought after for professional and medical type offices. What we have discovered is a lot of the existing commercial that might be available for those professional or medical, they don't like the age of the buildings that they're on, and so a newer building is actually more favorable. And we fit the other uses in this area and the trend of other approved uses. So the use is not out of character with the neighborhood. We won't adversely affect the neighborhood. If you look at many of the B1 that we could put on the site, a bakery, a hair salon, flower shop, retail store, art studio, or even a professional office, it would fit and naturally complement that area. Therefore, the land use and development trends in the area would allow this land to be an appropriate site for rezoning to B1. This property is classified as investment level 1 by the state, and the comprehensive plan for Sussex County has the property in the environmentally sensitive developing area. The plan permits B1 type uses in that it specifically states, in quote, uses should be limited to neighborhood shopping and businesses to serve the rapidly expanding population, end quote. So this area is definitely the type of area and that of expanding population that the comprehensive plan addresses, and the proposed use that the applicant has looked at is the type of use that the comprehensive plan desires in B1 zoning. And I'll ask Mr. Berry to come forward.
Thank you, Mrs. Gilmore. Again, my name is Douglas Berry. I'm a professional engineer for Pannoni Associates in Milton, Delaware. Also with me from Pannoni is Mark Davidson, our office director out of Milton. I've been a professional engineer in the state of Delaware for almost 10 years now, working on projects similar to this, and I really feel like we've put together a solid project team. You've heard from Mrs. Gilmore, the applicant's legal counsel, There is a professional land surveyor, multiple professional engineers, landscape architects. You'll hear from a realtor later, and the property owner himself is a registered professional engineer in the state of Delaware. So we feel like we really put our due diligence forth on this project. As Mrs. Gilmore said, this is an application to rezone four AR1 properties just outside of Lewis to B1. Mr. and Mrs. Boynes own six properties adjacent to Delaware Route 1 and Pondview Drive and Best Lane. This is Lot 1A, this is Lot 2, this is Lot 3, this is Lot 4, that's Lot 5, and that's Lot 6. Lots 5 and 6 are currently B1. Lots 1A through 4 are currently zoned AR1, and the application is to rezone Lots 1A through 4 and combine them with Lots 5 and 6 for subsequent commercial development. Lots 5 and 6 are currently housed by the existing two-story REMAX building, and these four properties here that are currently zoned agricultural are vacant. So Best Lane lies to the north. Pondview Drive lies to the south, and Delaware Route 1 lies to the east of the subject properties. Lots 13 and 22 of the adjacent Red Mill subdivision lie to the west of the proposed properties, or the existing property, excuse me. There's also an existing Sussex County pump station here and an associated easement for ingress and egress to the pump station. The properties are within investment level 1 of the state strategies map, where growth is promoted in an investment level 1. It is the state's intent to use spending and management tools to maintain and enhance community character, to promote well-designed and efficient growth, and to facilitate redevelopment. Also, the property is within Sussex County's comprehensive plan update, environmentally sensitive developing area. And in these areas are defined as areas that can accommodate development, provided special environmental concerns are addressed. And the comprehensive plan also states that office uses are appropriate in these areas. Also, Mrs. Gilmore noted the abundance of adjacent commercial properties, and I just wanted to say it again. The asterisk or star is our subject site. Everything that's identified in yellow is a commercial use or a commercial zoned property. And without going through each one, just to note some that are close to the subject property, Beach Babies is directly to the south, and the Delaware Guidance Center is a little bit up to the northwest of the property.
Beach Babies is to the south?
Amen. To the north, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Was that north okay. Arrow? Was that no. Yeah, you're right, to the north. Sorry about that. And again, although this is not an application for site plan approval, but rather an application for rezoning, a possible configuration was provided that illustrate three small commercial office buildings on lots 1A through 4. The three buildings together total 7,300 square feet. We've also put together a color rendering which shows what the office building might look like. And although I'm not an architect, I can say it's going to be designed to blend into the adjacent residential character as much as possible. Access to the site will be from Best Lane only. There will be no connection to the site from Pondview Drive via vehicular or any pedestrian connections whatsoever. The applicant voluntarily met with Red Mill Manor Subdivision Homeowners Association, and it was put forth and voiced that there was discontent with any connection to Pondview Drive, so we've eliminated that from any proposed site development plan.
Did they support the application?
They supported the site plan that you see before you.
Some.
Mostly. With regards to Best Lane, we did research with DelDOT, and we found that it actually is a public thoroughfare. In 1978, a member of the Millman family within Red Mill Manor deeded the right-of-way to Best Lane to the state, and a letter from the Department of Justice is provided in your hearing booklets. So access to the site will be from a public roadway. That's
how far back does that go?
1978.
State-owned. How far back is state? How far back with Best Lane? The entire Best Lane, all the way to the end, is owned by the state now?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right.
Region for that, so it could be get its service taken care of. Snowplow and all that.
Correct. Please note that there are 9 parking spaces, plus or minus, on Best Lane within the right of way that serve the existing REMAX building. As part of this project, those parking spaces will be pulled out of the right of way and put back onto the site to improve safety concerns within Best Lane. There will be 1 entrance for the subdivision, and that'll serve all 6 lots. A cross-access easement will be required through each of the 6 lots for vehicular access. Also, we've positioned the entrance as far away from Delaware Route 1 as possible to improve safety concerns into the existing property. As stated before, the subject property lies within an environmentally sensitive developing area. And although not required as part of the rezoning application, we did prepare an environmental assessment report, a copy of which is in your hearing booklet. And without reiterating the entire contents of the report, I just wanted to touch base on some of the important environmental issues with the property and the subsequent development. Number 1 would be stormwater. And stormwater is going to be provided from an on-site best management practice known as a bioretention facility. That'll be between Delaware Route 1 and the office buildings. The site is also within an excellent recharge area, so what we have to do is comply with the source water protection ordinance by infiltrating an amount of groundwater into the aquifer that exists or is greater than what is happening today as part of the project. So what we'll do is we'll infiltrate stormwater runoff in that bioretention facility. Number 2 is potable drinking water. Tidewater Utilities holds a CPCN for the project, and they've also issued a willing and able letter to serve the project. Number 3, sanitary sewer. The property is within Sussex County's West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. There's currently an existing main and Best Lane that serves the existing REMAX building. There's also a stub that comes out of this existing pump station, which through extending it through 1, 2, 3, and 4 can provide sewer service to the 3 proposed buildings. And the 4 equivalent dwelling units that are available for a project on this site without improvements to the pump station are adequate to serve the development that's currently contemplated. Number 4 is traffic. As you are aware, the properties are located within DLDOT's Corridor Capacity Preservation Program, where access to Route 1 is not permitted. Again, as previously stated, access will be provided via Best Lane. Improvements to Route 1 may also be warranted by DLDOT through extension of a right turn lane. There also may be some improvements required to Best Lane. And just to note, a commercial development that's contemplated will require an extensive traffic analysis to support the approval of a commercial development. If this property were to be developed as a residential project, there would be no such traffic analysis. There would be no access from Best Lane because you cannot access residential properties from a commercial use. So a residential project would have access from Pondview Drive, which, according to the adjacent HOA, is absolutely what they do not want. Number 5 is the endangered species. A study of the site revealed no presence of endangered species. Number 6 is wetlands. There are no wetlands on the property. A cursory investigation of the site was performed. Number 7 is the floodplain, and the site is not inundated by the 100-year floodplain. Number 8 is open space. Approximately 40% of the site after development will be rendered green space or open space. We've moved forward with an extensive landscape plan, which shows a nice buffer adjacent to Route 1. There's a continuous buffer adjacent to Pondview Drive to prevent any kind of vehicular or pedestrian access from the site to Pondview. In addition, there is a continuous 8-foot-wide buffer adjacent to Lot 13 and 22 of Redmill Manor. And number 9, and lastly, is historical and cultural resources. A search of the state's database shows that there is no historical and or cultural resources on the subject property. Now, with regards to PLUS, we went before the Office of State Planning and Coordination on the 24th. We got comments roughly a week and a half ago. A PLUS response letter was submitted on September 22nd. Each agency that was at the PLUS or made comments in the PLUS letter stated that they had no objection to the rezoning application. And some of these agencies include DLDOT, DENREC, Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs, the Fire Marshal, Department of Agriculture, the Office of State Planning and Coordination themselves, and the Fire Marshal. And the letter, the response letter that we issued to PLUS is in the hearing booklet. But again, I wanted to touch on just a few things from DLDOT and DENREC. With regards to DLDOT, a traffic impact study is required as part of the rezoning application. Whenever you exceed an approximate trips per day of 50 trips per day, you have to either dedicate a fee in lieu of doing a TIS or actually do a TIS. Since the trip approximation is between 50 and 400, DLDOT has actually stated that they would prefer a fee in lieu rather than a traffic impact study, with the understanding that if the subsequent site plan development comes back with a development that exceeds 200 trips per day, we have to do a traffic operational analysis, and the developer is fully willing to comply with all DLDOT's requirements. Secondly, with regard to DLDOT, the existing right turn lane into Best Lane from Delaware Route 1 is 300 feet. They made a note in the PLUS comments that they would ask the property owner, the applicant, to extend that right turn lane 150 feet to serve not only his subdivision, but it appears that there, through the development of Beach Babies and other commercial developments, there may be a need for extending that, mm-hmm. and the developer's fully committed to do that as well.
So it's that southbound lane.
Correct.
But not northbound turning into, right?
No, ma'am. Nothing. Now, mm-hmm. if the rezoning application is approved, their next step is to come back with a site plan where DLDOT will issue formal comments and we'll go through their land development process. So at this point, we don't foresee that, but it's possible. And lastly, with regards to DLDOT, Best Lane is 50 feet wide. Along its center line, it's 15 feet wide on our side and 35 feet wide on the northwest side of Best Lane. DLDOT's going to require that we dedicate an additional 10 feet of right-of-way to the state for future widening of Best Lane, which the developer is fully committed to do that as well. And two things regarding DENREC. And as I stated before, the property is within Sussex County source water protection area, and we will have to demonstrate that the water being recharged after the site is developed equals or exceeds what's being infiltrated on the site today. Secondly, and lastly, development shall meet the TMDL reduction requirements through employment of best management practices. We've actually already done a nutrient protocol to demonstrate that this development will meet the TMDL reduction requirements, although it's not required at this point. We did want to include that as part of the environmental impact assessment report. We understand a site plan approval will require DENREC approval of that nutrient protocol. So in closing, I just wanted to touch on some bullet items. We have four AR1 properties that are currently, four AR1s, lot 1A, 2, 3, and 4, that we would like to rezone B1 and combine with the existing lots 5 and 6 for subsequent commercial development. Property is within investment level 1, where development is promoted and encouraged. It is within an environmentally sensitive developing area where the comprehensive plan indicates offices are appropriate. We will adequately address environmental concerns with the state agencies, including traffic and stormwater. Access will be to the site from Best Lane, a public roadway. and all state agencies have indicated that they have no objection to the rezoning application. And as Ms. Gilmore stated earlier, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the rezoning application on September 22nd. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Mrs. Gilmore.
I think at this time we're having Pat Campbell-White come forward just to speak to the real estate values and other uses.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. My name is Pat Campbell-White. I've been a real estate practitioner in Sussex County for over 37 years and appreciate the opportunity to be here today. One of the things that I really got excited about at the planning hearing was being able to talk about all the environmental factors, which they told me somebody else has already covered that. I'm just to address a couple things. And that is relationship to the need for the zoning of the property. And also, could I truly stand before you and say that I don't believe that it would create any negative impact on surrounding properties? As I've worked commercial and residential real estate in this area, worked with a number of businesses and shown and leased properties up and down the Route 1 corridor, predominantly Rehoboth North, to even as far as north as Milford and Milton and Milford. Some of the sites that I've shown in those areas did not suit the particular clients that I was working with. They were older buildings that would require a lot of retrofit and conversion and renovation. And matter of fact, a couple of people specifically talked about the potential expansion of the site when they were initially looking at the potential rental of the existing B1 property that's owned by Mr. Boynes. And the other thing had to do with being able to state this does not negatively impact surrounding properties. And I had to really sit down and struggle with that to make sure that I wasn't asked to stand up here and say something that I couldn't fully in my heart believe. And as I, in a very, very detailed manner, looked at all the B1 uses and the uses that are proposed here, I state, instead of saying this doesn't, continuing to say this doesn't negatively impact the surrounding properties, I look at it as a benefit. And the site development as B1 is that there is a much higher safety factor because of Del Dot control over ingress and egress. A much higher safety factor because of the applicant's agreement in support with the residential owners along Pondview that would completely cut off all vehicular and pedestrian access to Pondview and also create a very, very nice vegetated buffer. And as you know, when you go through a full B1 site plan review, there are a lot of hoops that the applicant will have to jump through in a very, very highly controlled site plan that would not exist if he tried to plop four single-family homes there on individual wells, but I'm not supposed to talk about the environmental benefits. One of the other benefits that I see that is a plus, not only does it not create a negative impact on surrounding properties, and I've actually, many times after I've sold a piece of property or in the process of selling it, got a phone call from the prospective buyer's insurance company. Say, can you tell us where the nearest fire hydrant is? Well, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, in the car and go see where the nearest fire hydrant is. And that's the first question the insurance company asks. Now they ask a second question that says, and what's the capacity of that hydrant? So the hydrant, which is there now, and I couldn't tell you its existing capacity, but it will have to be increased at the applicant's expense, which creates a benefit to the homeowners in that immediate area, because if they make themselves aware and make their insurance company aware of the increased capacity at the fire hydrant, firefighting capacity, they should be able to have a benefit from a decrease in homeowners insurance. And I've had insurance agents, you know, quote one rate on if the hydrant has X capacity versus Y capacity. So making it short and sweet and not haranguing on anything else that both Heidi, Ms. Gilmore, and the engineers have talked about, I do believe it is that this is a site, this requested use has extreme site applicability. It is in keeping with state strategies for as an appropriate management tool, and in keeping with our county comprehensive plan adjacent to an existing B1. And on behalf of the applicant, we certainly respectfully request your support of the unanimous recommendation of planning and zoning.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are you testifying as an expert witness here?
I'm sorry?
Are you testifying here as an expert witness on the value of land around it, should it be approved?
Am I testifying as an expert witness? I'm testifying as a practitioner in the area in terms of if somebody came to me with a house on Pondview and says, okay, is my house negatively impacted because of this use? In my opinion, it is not.
I understand. All right. And you said there was an agreement between Pondview Manor folks and the developer not to access Pondview Lane. And then you mentioned something about a buffer. That there would be, where is this agreement and where is this?
Well, the buffer happens as part of a B1 site plan.
Mm-hmm.
Vegetated buffers are required as part of a B1 site plan. Mm-hmm.
So the agreement is really not to access Pondview Lane. Is that the agreement between the two parties?
Actually, it's already been covered by the engineer, but if it was residential, it could not be accessed through BEST if it was.
I understand that. Yes.
Okay. It would
I'm
not
just
be accessed.
About this so agreement. That's
it is not the site plan doesn't lend itself to be able to be accessed through Pondview by the time you put in the stormwater management and all the appropriate vegetated buffers.
So they wouldn't be able to use it anyway, is what you're saying?
They would have to do a lot of, if it was residential, they could,
mm-hmm.
okay, because they don't have to meet a lot of the other requirements that are more stringent because it would be B1. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I could probably add to that, Ms. Deaver. Before we even filed, we recommended the applicant meet with the homeowners surrounding there to give them an idea of what they were proposing, just as a courtesy. And so they took the proposed plan that we had put together to the homeowners and took feedback, and we tried to address those concerns. So there is no agreement. There is the presentation that we made, and some people appeared at the commission and voted or made their presentation in support, some in opposition. So,
okay, there's no particular agreement about that,
no.
The road access.
Okay, so we're available to answer any other questions that you might have.
Are there any questions from council?
The 10 feet width that DelDOT, I think it was said DelDOT was asking for 10 feet of additional width on the side of the road. Is that just in front of the this property we're talking about?
Right? Mr. Boyne's, mm-hmm. the Mr. land Boyne's, that Mr. Boyne owns.
Remax, isn't that Remax that's in there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He owns that land, and they asked him to dedicate 10 feet.
So he'll lose 10 feet of his frontage on Best
that's
Lane?
That's why they're moving the parking spaces from that area to mm-hmm. the other side of the land.
Okay.
I'll just ask maybe Mr. Moore. We heard some testimony about the state of Best Lane. Do you have... from what you've heard and what you've been able to see, is there any questions in your mind about the status of Best Lane at this point?
Not based on the testimony.
What we've heard so far, right. Okay. All right. Well, then I don't have any questions right now then.
All right. Do you have any other witnesses?
No, we do not.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition on this matter? Mr. Pfeiffer, would you like to come forward? And if you're here representing other parties, would you let us know who they are, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. President, members of council, my name is Larry Pfeiffer. I am representing Dale Truitt and several other residential residents of Best Lane. Who are similarly situated in opposition to this application. I was only recently approached and retained by my client, so I do not have a formal package to present to you, but I have reviewed the file, I believe completely, and I would like to address matters that are of record in the file and also address certain representations made just before me today. As I was reviewing the file, it seemed to me that logically the issues break down into three categories. The first, to me, was the history and character of the area in question. The second was the need or prospective need for business or commercial use on this site versus the impact that business use will have on the site. And by that, I mean the totality of the site, not just this site, but all of the surrounding residents and other uses that are adjacent to it. And the third thing I think that came to my mind was safety considerations, which I believe the record indicates are substantial. I would like to start with the history, but before I do, Mr. Lank, if I may, is there an aerial photo of the region? Yes, it's in the record.
I'll pass it in. Or do you want to use it for your presentation?
You have one. Or
I'm going to ask you who owns that lot.
The photo supplied by Dale Truitt.
Yes, I have a copy before me, so I can refer to it. Looking at the aerial photo, Best Lane is clearly marked, and the southbound lane of Route 1 there at the, I guess it would be the south west corner of the intersection, is the existing building, which is indicated right here on this exhibit. That building, it's my understanding and recollection, I think, that the property that was erected back in the early 80s, I believe, when Nanticoke Homes purchased those two lots, which are two residential building lots from the developers of the Red Mill Pond community. It was a model home, which was operated by a gentleman named Ray McCabe, I believe, for many years on behalf of Nanticoke Homes. Subsequent to that, the Mr. and Mrs. Boynes bought those two lots, 5 and 6, in 2002. It was not until this past year and the year before, that is year 2010 and 2011, that the other four lots were purchased by Mr. and Mrs. Boynes. That's 1A, 2, 3, and 4. It's my understanding that that Best Lane was really just a dirt road until the 90s, around 2000, I guess, when the county, I believe, put a sewer line down the middle of the lane, and it was subsequently paved. We do not dispute that the road, the area of the roadway, has been dedicated to the state. And also, after that occurred, we have the development of the two commercial or business uses that are immediately to the north, along the southbound lane of Route 1 there. It's called Beach Babies and, I believe, Delaware Guidance Center. As you can see, by referring to the aerial map, both of those businesses and their parking lots are accessed to Route 1 over Best Lane. As you can also see by reference to the aerial photo, there are a substantial number of residences. In other words, Best Lane doesn't just end when it goes by this proposed new business development. It continues on back along several very nice homes and back into the wooded area where there are more homes. It's my understanding from my client, Mr. Truitt, that there are approximately 28 single-family residences back along there. The reference earlier to, excuse me, the parking spaces, I think is clear that parking in this area for business use is going to be substantially increased. As we heard from Mr. Ferry just a little bit ago, there's going to be, have to be, according to the state, to DelDOT, a substantial upgrading, widening of Best Lane. And that's precisely what my clients are opposed to. They are concerned about the rapid and expansive development and increase of traffic along this lane for reasons that I'll get to in a moment. But I would like to make it clear that what we're really talking about here is not just four lots. What we're talking about here is six lots. The four that are proposed, to the first two, five and six, have been zoned business one for some time. And they've gotten along just fine, I guess. But now what is sought is a substantial or a more than substantial increase or expansion of that business use. In fact, I guess it's not just a 100% increase or even a 200% increase. What is sought here is a 300% increase in the business use of this property and at the same time extending it into a residential area. This property, these lots, 1A, 2, 3, and 4, are part of the larger community.
Mr. Pfeiffer, do you mind going back to the podium? We have people watching online as well.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
We'd like to speak from the podium.
Very well. Thank you. Are part of a larger community of lots, as can clearly be seen in the aerial photograph. So, so much for the history and character of the area. I think that it is difficult to imagine that this is the character of this area is not residential, substantially and prevailing residential. Now, with regard to the issue of safety, certainly I think we can all agree that protecting the safety of those that use our highways and especially the children who might be located in these areas are a very real and valid concern of anyone considering the effects of zoning change. And this site and proposal is no different. You have heard, and in fact you can see, although it's just a little white dot at the northwestern corner of the intersection of Best Lane and the southbound lane of Route 1, a school bus shelter for the children who live in the residential houses along this lane. And potential for harm to those children, I think, is one of the major concerns of my clients who've asked me to speak on their behalf today. In the file, several photographs which indicate certain anomalies in this driveway. It's wider at some points, it's narrower at others, and there is a fire hydrant, I believe, in the area where the property, turn, the right-hand turn into the Beach Babies and Delaware Guidance Center is located.
For the benefit of the record, I just pass those photos down for the review of the council.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. There is obviously existing traffic from the Beach Babies and Delaware Guidance Center, and this is not just normal vehicular traffic of private automobiles. Substantial numbers of buses come in and go out on a daily basis. One of the photographs in the record shows the present parking for the existing, it's been referred to as the REMAX building, and I'll continue that if I may. But the existing building is presently being utilized as a REMAX real estate office. Presumably, they rent that from Mr. and Mrs. Boynes. But the existing parking is between the northern side of that building and the Best Lane. And my clients have informed me that from time to time, fairly frequently, as a matter of fact, that parking is space that is there, which is not small, is frequently not enough. And vehicles park up on the grass in the rear of the building. I believe there are photographs which indicate that in the record. So what we have is essentially a residential area involving the people who live along Best Lane, the people who live in on the other side of the Red Mill subdivision, and additionally, I believe it backs up to Painter's Mill. As well as Red Mill Manor, which is a substantially large residential area. It was mentioned earlier that DelDOT has indicated a requirement to widening Best Lane, and the applicants would have us believe that that's really a good thing. It'll make things safer. Well, widening Best Lane, I think we all know, simply means more traffic on Best Lane if this rezoning is granted. And that is precisely what my clients are opposed to. The petition in the record has represented minimal, quote, minimal, close quote, traffic consistent with the community. But the plus evaluation, which is also in the record, reveals over 200 trips per day estimated for this project. So, in fact, I think it's 205 trips per day. Putting it squarely within, I believe, the 200 and 400 category previously referred to by Mr. Ferry. Mr. Truitt has also indicated an increase of traffic accidents at or near the intersection of Best Lane and the southbound lane of Route 1 over the past 10 years, which would be consistent with the increased use imposed on Best Lane by Beach Babies and the Delaware Guidance Center. The proposal made by the petitioners has generated from DelDOT also a requirement to increase the length of the turn lane as the referring again to the aerial photo, it's necessary to take a right-hand turn off of Route 1 as you're coming south to get into Best Lane. To add more length to that, I think it was stated from 300 feet to 450 feet, poses two difficulties. Number one, I think we all know what traffic is like, especially in the summertime, heading south on Route 1. Imagine, if you will, yet another element to slow down or impede that traffic, which is exactly what this increased length of turn lane and the increased traffic using it would be. The lengthening of the of that turn lane is referred to in the PLUS review, again, part of the file in this case. And unfortunately, it appears to me that to increase that turn lane length to 450 feet would squarely put it across a couple of more private driveways for residences which are located further north along the southbound lane of Route 1. So, you know, not to belabor this, my clients are concerned about the safety of their children and others if the traffic congestion is increased. Even the Planning and Zoning Commission, which did, as has been stated, recommend approval, even the Planning and Zoning Commission acknowledged in their report and minutes that there are traffic and safety concerns. And we certainly, my clients certainly wholeheartedly agree with that assessment. There seems to be somewhat of a, to me, it's a misunderstanding. There has been reference both on the part of the applicants and in the planning and zoning letter minutes, under number three in the planning and zoning minutes, a number of businesses and commercial uses located in the general area of Route 1, including a B1 zoned property next door. I presume by that they're referring to the existing REMAX building and not to the two businesses across Best Lane, known as Beach Babies and Delaware Guidance Center. The second area of concern is need versus impact. You have heard testimony concerning the need for this property in the area. I would note that at the outset, this is not a situation where the applicant does not have access. The applicant already has access to Pondview Drive, which has access to Route 1, as has been shown, and is also revealed on the aerial photo. If the applicants simply develop their four existing lots that they've purchased in the last year or two for four residences, they don't need anybody's approval, mine, yours, anybody's. The property would be developed in accordance with the historical basis of it. These are now sought to be turned into three new business buildings, which would access Route 1 via Best Lane, which is already carrying its more than its fair share of the burden. I submit that it would not be unreasonable to have these properties utilize the Pondview Drive access to Route 1 rather than the Best Lane access. In that regard, I would note that at least my review of the file did not reveal any sort of agreement or even support of the Homeowners Association for the Red Mill Estates area of this application. The need for more business professional office space, I think, is called seriously into question by anyone simply taking a drive in the down Route 1 towards Lewis and going over the Nassau Bridge. You will see vacant office buildings up and down the road. There are vacancies, and in fact, some of these vacancies are shown in the photographs, which are part of the record. And these vacancies include areas that are as close as Red Mill Center across the Route 1, Willow Creek Plaza across Route 1, Sandbar Plaza, which is a brand new business use just across the Nassau Bridge on the same side of Route 1 as this property. Mariner Plaza, Tenley Court, Five Points Plaza. There are ample vacancies in that development, and it's only a matter of a mile or two away, I believe. So my clients would respectfully disagree that there is a need for more business space, more office space, as is planned. On the other hand, what is the impact? There has to be some balance. If there is a need, then so be it, and proceed. But should we not balance the impact on the land in question and the lands adjoining? As has already been stated, the increased car and truck traffic for access to these properties, for deliveries, trash removal, and related activities certainly are going to oppose exactly the kind of threat to safety that my clients are concerned about. There is also, in addition to the safety related impact, a note that in the summary of the plus meeting, that there was a recommendation of cross easements being implemented for the six lots, which are to make up this development. And I did not hear any mention of that earlier, nor did I see it in the file. There are also archaeological considerations, which are referenced in the PLUS application. Page two of the PLUS report letter dated September 16, 2011 makes reference to dwellings, ancient dwellings or structures associated with the Painter family on the parcel, and the possibility of archaeological and human remains located on the, at or near the site. My client has further indications of that, including a photograph of an ancient headstone, and knows, he says, has personal knowledge of two or three sites in this very area, which in all likelihood would be of archaeological significance. I would like to take this opportunity before closing to address a few of the things that were brought up by the petitioners earlier. I believe I already mentioned Mr. Ferry had indicated there was a homeowners association support for this project. There's nothing in the record that I saw anyway. The entrance distance from Route 1 to the existing parking lot for the REMAX building, I believe, is just a little over 50 feet, whereas the proposed entrance for this application is about 100 feet by my best calculations, or maybe a little over 100 feet. Not that much of a difference. In fact, my clients have suggested that perhaps it would be better while we certainly hope the council will deny this application, if it sees fit to grant it, we would suggest that perhaps the entrance way to this property should be closer to Route 1, not farther away, so that the access would be to the front of these buildings and not to the rear, which is the area that borders onto the residential areas to the west, immediately to the west. And that would be perhaps be a better approach than, I believe, an 8-foot vegetative buffer that's shown. The There was reference to wetlands, that this site does not contain wetlands. I can assure you that there are wetlands immediately, very near this site. They may not be right on this site, but they, as you proceed down Best Lane along the northerly shore of Red Mill Pond back toward the creek, there are substantial wetlands. I've already spoken to the historical and cultural aspect, and also to the increase in trips per day 200. Lastly, it was indicated somewhere in the plus report, I think, or somewhere in the application, that the only additional vehicular traffic would not include truck traffic. I think that's not realistic. Certainly, to have if you're going to have four office buildings with parking lots for each, it seems to me there's going to be delivery trucks, trash trucks, and the like going in and coming out on a regular basis. Based on these matters, on these representations, I would respectfully ask the council to consider denying this request, and I'm sure there are other folks here. Oh, the one thing I did almost forgot to include, I can't help but note, and it struck me as I was going through the file, that there are two letters in support of this project, and nine letters and a petition with 111 signatures opposing it. So I think I don't know if the applicants met with all of those people, as they said they met with the Red Mill Pond homeowners, but if they did, they came away with a different view. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pfeiffer. Does any member of the council have a question of him? If not, is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. You will come forward. Come to the podium. Give us your full name and address, please.
My name is William Ash. I live on 16635 Peaceful Way, which is a small lane off of Best Lane. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all. I had not planned on it when I came, but I listened to the testimony. I'd like to clear up a couple of things, or at least add some information. Pat Campbell White gave a very good testimony. I've known her a long time. She taught my sales course 30 years ago. I am also a real estate practitioner, a broker. She also taught me the sales course when I took my broker's license. And I've worked with her on the state level. And when I was president of the local association, she served on a couple of committees for me. I'd like to say one thing. Just remember, weigh the testimony that the developer is her client. And I think, and I not plan on saying this, if as far as impact on the other properties in the area, there would be less impact with individual houses, single-family residents, backing up to the other development there. Anytime you move commercial business in, it's going to affect somebody in a residential area. You all understand that? If you had one move in next door to you or immediately behind you, it would have some impact on you. So it's a matter of opinion, and my opinion is it would be some effect. Back when the Best Lane came to be, it originally came off of Route 1 on the other side of where the state has the guidance center. And Mr. Millman had a house there, and Alfred and Tom Best bought a pond front property off of him. And they built the road straight back to the corner of the woods, took a left, went south, and then took a right, went east, or west along the pond to get to their property. A few years later, they got with Mr. Millman. He gave them permission to build the road, and they built the road straight out to the highway. And when the original sales office went in there, model home, Nanticoke Homes, built in there, they had to sign off to allow access to that property. It's always been a private lane. We still have records that says it's private. And back in 1970-something, that the developer said, Mr. Millman or somebody from the Millman family offered it to the state. And this came from Mr. Schrank, who's the attorney for the State Highway Department. We met in his office in Dover, and he gave us this information. He said, at that time, the state did not have to accept it to become a law. They did not accept that road. 1 week later, the law changed. Kind of odd, isn't it? It all happened in 1970. 1 week after this took place, there's no written proof or anything where it was offered to them that we've ever seen. the law changed where it had to be signed to accept it. And so that made it, they said, a public access road. And so all the research had been done. It was still a private road, as far as we know. We maintained that road. We scraped it. We rebuilt it when it had to be, until such time as this happened, when they put in the beach babies. And Mr. Schrank, I'll not use the terminology he used, but he told us we'd been had. He said we could get the road back from Beach Baby's entrance on back into the woods if we wanted to spend the money to go to court. And we didn't want to do that because they were going to blacktop it, being they run the sewer in there. So the county actually blacktopped the road. My main concern is safety. I've lived there for over 20 years, and we had a concern they were going to build Painter's Mill. That entrance is going to be off of Best Lane also. And they had a meeting at the end of the road, right by the bus stop that's there, with all the county representatives, our state representatives, and congressmen and whatnot. Mr. Lank was there. And State Highway Department at that time, the Secretary of the Highway Department, said there would be no more entrances off of Route 1 for developments. And they had to go by the Neff Farm over on Route 88 and put the entrance to Painter's Mill over there because of the property with the problem with traffic. Now then they're saying the highway, supposedly, now we have a new secretary, of course, doesn't have a problem with it. Well, you're going to have 50 parking spaces, all these other cars coming in and out there. It's going to be, it's a very dangerous intersection to present time, and it's going to be much worse. When you come off of Route 1 coming south, there's a bus stop, there's the county has their sewer pumping station there with trees all around it. Once you turn that corner, it's blind. And people sometimes stop, they want to turn into Beach Babies, they're turning into the road that goes into the pumping station, the little old space there where their vehicle pulls into work. And if you've got these people stopped, and one or two of them, those people coming in cannot see anybody stop there. I have trouble getting in there. If I pull my utility trailer with a lawnmower on it, I have to swing out because there's a ditch there right at Route 1 where the access lane is, you know, where you decelerate and turn in. There's a huge ditch, and then it's got the blacktop has been cut away. You run your wheels right into it. You're right in the ditch. Very dangerous. School buses can't turn in. And now we're talking about putting 200 or 300 more vehicles coming in and out there constantly. I have to wait sometimes 5 minutes to get across the road. I've been close to hitting 4 or 5 different cars coming out of Beach Babies. Unfortunately, they don't stop. A lot of them are, I know it's against the law, are using their cell phones. Turning in, they're using their cell phones. And there's going to be a very, very major accident there sometime in the future. I appreciate this. Your opportunity to speak to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ash. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to this application, sir?
How you doing? My name is Dave Farron. I'm a resident on Best Lane as well. I bought the property in 2006. My wife and I, we wanted to have a house to come to the beach and retire to, which we're going to do here in a few years. But when we bought it, one of the main reasons we bought it was because it's a nice dead-end street, no traffic. We got the pond on one side. We figured no way they're going to be able to build on a pond. So we've got Painter's Mill on the other side, which is new. That was one of the major concerns. Major reasons we bought that house was to because of how quiet it was. We're going to now have a business. You know, they want to put a business at the end of Route 1 on the entrance. The best thing, I won't go over to safety because everybody knows how dangerous it is. It's just crazy as far as the amount of cars already. If anybody has been out there, one fellow did go out there and he counted 400 cars going in and out of that intersection in a couple hours' time. It's a lot. The property, Mr. Truitt, I believe it is, he bought this place a year or two ago. He bought it knowing that it was AR1. Why would you buy an AR1 with the idea that, oh, I'm going to change it to B1? I mean, if he knows it was AR1, that's what it is, that's what it should stay. That's just my opinion. Lane improvements coming southbound, as they covered, all they're going to do is move paint backwards a couple hundred feet. that's not really going to do a whole lot. If there's trucks and trailers turning right, Bill has a grass cutting business. He's coming down. He's going to turn right. You have to go in the middle of Route 1 lane to turn right to make the turn. That and the buses as well. So you know there could be possibilities of rear-end collisions for sure. Coming out of Best Lane, if you want to go northbound, you got to go and sit in that island. If you got cars coming southbound that want to go left into Best Lane, there's a major choke point there. There's a lot of businesses already on Route 1 after you get over the Nassau Bridge. That's fine. Everybody knows that's where they are. Don't need more on the other side of the Nassau Bridge, the north side. They mentioned the Red Mill Pond homeowners were okay with this presentation. Yeah, they were okay because they said they weren't going to have entrance to the business park. Of course they're okay. Did they ask anybody on Best Lane? Not to my knowledge, because I guarantee there ain't one person in Best Lane that's going to say, okay, yeah, let's go for it. I don't know, remember the name, but the real estate lady mentioned that it was good for property value. It's not good for property value. You guys probably know. We already covered that, so I won't get into that more, but it doesn't benefit. This thing changing doesn't benefit anybody in the area except for one person, and that's the owner. That's the only person that's going to benefit. Don't need it. Yeah. I heard I didn't make the last meeting, but I listened to it online, so I got to hear some of the presentation there as well. It was brought up about the 100 signatures that were in the record, I believe, that we had signed. A lot of them, you say, how do we get 100 signatures? Because there's only 28 houses on Best Lane. Well, you get 100 because there's a lot of parents going in and out for beach babies. Is it going to affect them? Absolutely. You increase the safety risk. People coming in and out of beach babies every day with little kids. It's going to affect them as well. And that's who a lot of their signatures were, because Dale stood out there and tried to tell them in a quick couple minutes what the situation was going to be. And they said, yeah, I want to sign it. I don't want to deal with that. So that's it for now. I'd strongly oppose it. I hope you guys consider opposing it. We don't need office space, as has been said. You know, Mr. Truitt bought it as AR1. I'd say keep it as AR1.
Excuse me, sir. I didn't get your name.
Last name.
I'm sorry. My name's David Farron. F as in Frank. A-R-R-E-N. Yeah.
Had it right. Okay.
You need my address or did I give it?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone else in? I see one back here and one over here. Like, come forward, please. And again, as I indicated at the beginning of the hearing, if you can avoid repeating things that were already said.
Good afternoon, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm a resident on Red Mill Pond. And I'll give you some background history on our development. It was subdivided in the early 70s, and it was put in by the Truitt brothers. It was subdivided as a residential property area only. These four lots are part of Red Mill Manor. And as you can, I don't know if he has them, there it is, the subdivision. That is all Red Mill Manor, and it goes around and partway down Best Lane. That was all designated Red Mill Manor. My concern is the traffic impact on Best Lane, and I've been in this house since 1988. I've seen the summers come and go, and I've seen the traffic impact just pulling out of our lane. And it's horrendous there, especially in the summertime. I don't know if any of you have come out to the particular property and taken a look at what we're discussing here, but I highly suggest that perhaps you could do that before you made a general decision. As for our community being a homeowners association and meeting with Mr. Boyne, yes, we did. We thought his proposal looked very good. We did suggest that we didn't want anyone coming on our private lane because it is private. The state has nothing to do with Red Mill Manor Road. We maintain it ourselves. And we asked for something in writing, and we were promised something in writing. And to this day, we don't have it. So my concern is, if this is switched over and going to a B1, Mr. Boynes can then go ahead and flip the property or do whatever he wants. That's my opinion. I don't know if he can or not without coming back for another input from you guys. But I really think that DelDOT needs to do a traffic input study, because it is going to increase traffic a lot, and it's very dangerous. Or DelDOT, the road is not wide enough, and we do really need a long turning lane all along there, all the way down to Red Mill. But that's not going to happen. And in the meantime, you're going to have major accidents and problems there. So that's all I have to say, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Excuse
me, you looked at the project. Is that what you saw, that picture there, and you said it looked nice? Is that what the developer showed you?
Yeah, and I thought it was really nice. But then I go home and I start looking up things, and I see parking spaces. I'm counting the parking spaces. If it's going to be a doctor's office, which he was proposing, I know going to my doctor, you're going to have more than 200 cars going in and out of there if it's doctor's offices or dentists. And that's what was brought up at the meeting. And I just think the impact study is too great. I think you could put 4 houses there. I do know from the other owner that owned it, he had a permit from DelDOT to put in a turning lane off of Route 1, and that would supply all 4 lots for individual homes. Now, when he sold that lot, he lost that permit. But that could be reapplied for from DelDOT, and that would give you approximately 10 cars going in and out off the highway versus a couple hundred. So that's all I have to say, and I appreciate it.
Question, please. I didn't get your name when you come up.
I'm sorry. Francis Brown.
Francis Brown, thank you.
31270 Pondview Drive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. There was someone else that raised their hand that would like to speak, I believe. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this time. I spoke a few weeks ago, as Mr. Lank knows, and I'm a little nervous up here, but I'll try not to be redundant, and I'll as little as I can, but there's a few points that still yet need to be made. There are some photos that maybe Mr. Lank has. I don't know if he's passed those out. I have since then taken a few more photos. If I'm permitted, I would like to turn those over, so it would show a few more opportunities that I had to grab the photos at the opportunity of the school bus coming into the best lane, and exactly where some measurements that I took, and I can see where the measuring tape is laying out, that shows that the road is wider at the entrance and narrows down shortly because of the mailboxes and the telephone pole. There are a photo of the turn lane that they're proposing to extend. I know you've already covered this, but I have a photo of it. And this turn lane starts now at about the center of Beach Babies property, where the building is. If they extend it, it's going to go down toward Mrs. Moore's property and the 3 or 4 other private lanes that are between there and Red Mill Motel. So I would like to present those. And there are a couple photos that I have of burial sites, that some of them are on a private property next to me, the Fowler property. They're not marked, but sometime in around 2001, 2002, when that property went up for sale, I think Mr. Banghart owned it, and Mr. Kaplan was looking to purchase it at that time, who has his cul-de-sac is named after him, there where the Fowler family lives. But off the property line of the Fowler property and my property, I went out to my lot one day, and there's a lady from the Department of Archaeological Digs with a backhoe. They're digging up burial site. They I think between 6 and 8 family members are buried in here. I will real quickly say, Sam Painter, back in the 1800s, gave approximately 10 acres for a Quaker meeting house. And this is what, and then when he relinquished some of his crop shares, sharecroppers, some property adjacent to that. So The first photos that are marked will be the sharecropper's family. And then there's other photos of where these photos, there would be no markings because at that time they used wooden markers. So behind this property are headstones. And there's a, if I can present these to you at this time, then the headstone is in the property behind me, behind my lot, on Mr. Souder's property. And I mean, it's still existing.
Where is your house in relation to this?
I'm sorry, my name is Dale Truitt. Mm-hmm. I live at 31046 Best Lane, Lot 20, Red Mill Manor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely, when they had this meeting that they're speaking of,
that's great.
Anyone who owned the four lots off of Best Lane were not invited.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
But none of those relics or things that you were able to find were on this subject property, were they?
Not on
this.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I want. Are these, excuse me, these monuments actually on this site or somewhere else?
They're not actually on this site, mm-hmm. but they are in Red Mill Manor. And that has to be approximately the 10 acres that Sam Painter gave. Sam Painter was a Quaker, from what I understand, and he gave 10 acres for a Quaker meeting house. A Quaker meeting house, for those of you who may not know, that's where they bury. They also have their cemetery. There's one in Wyoming, still existing.
Mm-hmm.
I will real quickly hit on the petition list real quick. Okay, mine in particular, there's about the first two page and a half, I have about 38 signatures. Some of them were husband and wives. Best Lane, I have about 20 signatures from Best Lane out of about 24, 26 homes. Okay, some of these people aren't approachable. Some of the people I've never seen, they don't live there but part-time, maybe 6 months. And some of the people like Mr. Farron are only there on the weekends at this time. Okay, so what my point also would be on these signatures, and you may see in relation, we have 100 and some signatures, 20 or 30 some. I actually had 6 signatures from Pondview Drive, which is over a half. There's about 10 homes on Pondview Drive. I have 6 signatures from Pondview Drive. But the rest of them being from, as you know, people, my mother-in-law, they travel in and out of my home, Best Lane. Anyone that I come in contact that I know travels Route 1. And I did stand at the end of the stop sign and collect some from parents from Beach Babies leaving. Getting back to the people in Best Lane and Pondview Drive, we have a fairly good turnout today from Pondview Drive and Best Lane, and I appreciate this support. But those who can't get off work, people who own homes and live out of town, out of state, I want you to take that in consideration. That's why they're not here today. Mrs. Chappetta owns a lot in Pondview Drive. She had an operation recently. Doug Sutman had an operation recently. You know, other people have commitments. They can't leave in the middle of the day. To be honest with you, I'm self-employed. I had to cancel appointments today for me to be here. I've known Mr. and Mrs. Boynes for quite some time. I used to subcontract from them when they had Boynes Beach Homes. I'm a flooring contractor. So the friendship may not be ruined at this point, and I know I'm probably taking food off my table by not having the opportunity now probably to do the work for him, whether it's residential or commercial. I'll be quick. I have a few notes here, and then I'll get on to that. As far as this being needed, the properties, you have Painter's Mill at this time has commercial businesses out front. They have a bakery. I don't think it's doing too well. They have a hair salon. I know the gentleman that owns it. He's not doing so well. My wife's a hairdresser. At another shop down the street. Okay, so we know what's available.
Mrs. Chepetta is a hairdresser. Okay, so for this to come into our neighborhood is unneeded. And as Larry Pfeiffer has already touched on, all the empty buildings up and down Route 1, there's many, 20 to 30 from Best Lane to Tenley Court, across the street to the town villages, to Quaker Town, and back out to Best Lane. There's 20 to 25 empty units, some new, some old. There has, I guess I've already touched on the buses. You know, hopefully you've seen the photos of the buses trying to get in. That was last Friday, a perfect opportunity. I was sitting there, and I carry my camera with me. I have it sitting on my seat on, and the bus driver was coming back from Milton, bringing the children back to Beach Babies, and the bus driver could not turn from the turn lane. They have to turn from the right lane. They can't get in there. Sometimes if I'm in the right lane trying to leave Best Lane, I have to back up to let a truck in. I think I touched on their association the Red Mill Manor Association, it's really nothing more than a road fund. It's nothing more than a road fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for them to take care of the private road, it's really not an association. Well, we've touched on how dangerous everything is. I refer to it as a crossing. You know, it's not an intersection, it's a crossing. You have a narrow lane, the signatures I've touched on, the accidents, the children, it's just not necessary. Mr. Boynes can build four houses, sell them to retirees or families, and I don't suppose there'd be a problem. Two and a half weeks ago, I turned to Mr. Lank, an alternative proposal Mr. Boynes had given to me about homes. I don't know if you had passed that to him. I took the opportunity to highlight in blue to change his alternative plan just slightly if he pushes the homes to the rear and puts the road, if the entrance comes off Palmview Drive, it would snake around and come across the front of the property. If you would take a few minutes to look at that. There was also a video that I made. I didn't have the opportunity to show it at the planning and zoning meeting, but hopefully it's here. And you can take a look at that. It's at a point that is convenient. I'm about to close. And this is probably not going to be pretty, so bear with me. I have a son that's 11 and a half years old. And there's a family here in Georgetown that I'm sure everyone in this room knows of. And We have a strong connection to that family. And I have a photo of Lily and my son sitting on my desk every day to remind me how lucky I am to have a son that's not laying in A.I. DuPont crippled mentally. And I'm afraid that Best Lane and Route 1 will become a Route 30 and Route 1. We don't need that. There's been enough accidents between Five Points and Cape Neck Road. I went on the Dell Dot and checked on accidents at Best Lane. They had minimal. But inside that tenth of a mile circle, it was minimal. But that tenth of a mile circle fell just short of Mrs. Moore's property and or the Delaware Guidance Services. Okay, it didn't expand out far enough to catch the horrific accident that happened a year or so ago in July, where the husband and wife were killed because somebody was coming down Route 1 in a Corvette at 100 plus miles an hour. This is what we live with. We knew it when we bought the property. Traffic has gotten worse over the years. Okay, we deal with it. We don't need anyone coming in and making this worse. There's nothing, no amount of money the state can spend on this crossing to make it safer. Not when you have expressway ending in Dover that doesn't mean anything to folks that are coming from Pennsylvania, Delaware, people who live in Sussex County that are coming back from Dover, Wilmington, from work, that are traveling 80, 90 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, whatever. Okay, there's still a little bit of a crest of a road in the roadway up by Red Mill Manor or Red Mill Motel. So when I pull out in the morning, which I work right across the down, I did from Best Lane, I go travel south a half a mile, bang, you turn to come back to work. I literally live that close to work. And I can look north and see the front ends of vehicles coming over the crest of that hill. And by the time I get to the pond, they're on me like a swarm of bees. They're coming at 60, 80 miles an hour. This is the traffic we live with. We know it. We can handle it at this point. We can't handle anymore. I'll end with this. A couple weeks ago, my son and I went to a baseball game in Philadelphia. And on the way, we stopped to visit with Lily. She and my son used to share books, Diaries of a Wimpy Kid. We took her one, and the nurse reads it to her. And because some guy decided to drive 100 and some miles an hour on Route 1 on a motorcycle, commit suicide, basically what he did, and crippled this little girl who is laying in bed like this, like she's still tensed up from the impact of that motorcycle. Lily knew we were there. She couldn't speak, but she released her hand just enough for Cody and I to hold her hand. She recognized Cody. She recognized his voice. She recognized his face. And this is why I'm standing up here. I'm not going to try and deny that. Yeah, I'm worried about my property value. I'm worried about traffic. But we don't need any more kids dying. And that's what this is going to cause. When you have delivery trucks coming in and out, it's 150 feet from the edge of Route 1 to where they propose to put this driveway in at. 150 feet. A few weeks ago, I thought it was 120 feet, but I remeasured it. It's around 130, 140, 150 feet. What, 6-8 car lengths when you're trying to scoot across Route 1 with traffic coming at you 60 to 80 miles an hour? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else like speak in opposition to this application? Anyone else? Not seeing any at this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter and up to the council as to whether or not to close the record.
No, I want to speak with Del Dodd about this.
Make a motion, we defer.
Second. First, we'll close the public hearing.
Yes.
Now we have a motion.
I'll make that motion to defer.
To defer.
For Mrs.
And a second that motion. Any question on that motion?
The question would be this. Do we have to...
Is it open?
Well, do we have to say anything that she's going to just confer with the... does it matter if one individual...
It's being deferred to look at the matters that are in the record. Mm-hmm. Because Del Dodd
it's not for more. It's not for more public comment.
No.
That's closed. Okay. It's simply to research anything in the public record.
Take it under consideration.
Sure. Any more questions on my motion?
Well, if I'm able to, I'm sorry. I think a little slower than you do.
Oh, no. Help yourself.
If I'm able to, if there are any changes in their position, how would that reflect on this case?
then we'd have to leave it open.
Well, we can come back and you can request that we vote to reopen the record for the introduction
would that
of your
be
information.
Because
and if we would do that, either side would have an opportunity then
to respond to
respond
that.
To
mm-hmm.
that.
All right.
We historically have not done that, you know.
Correct.
That.
Yes.
Right.
But we can.
Any more questions?
Thank you.
I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson. I vote yes. Motion carried. It is deferred.